Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Brooke is back.
I'm back. I was gone for 3 weeks.
You were. It was a very long time. I'm super sad. I was actually really sad because I ended up having to do the ads for the...
yeah, a couple of them.
No, I had to do all of them for last week's. So you guys, I just want to apologize. Those ads were terribly read. Terribly done. And then we had to do a rerun.
Yeah.
And I had to do like a promo for that too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Or like a introduction.
Nice.
Yeah. It was difficult. I think I literally sat there and read them about 10 times. It was horrible.
Dude.
So we'll record it on our phone if we don't have the Rodecaster.
We're not in the same place.
Yeah.
And we don't always get ads like with enough time, right? Sometimes.
With your travel schedule.
Sometimes, yeah. When we have a trip coming up or I have to leave, we will make sure we have podcasts recorded.
Right.
So one can come out even if I'm gone.
But then sometimes some ads come out after.
And then ads come out.
Or they get bought after.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing them on my phone. And apparently I hold the phone too close to my face.
Is that what Mark said?
Yeah. Mark's our, what is he? The not editor?
He does all of our podcast stuff that goes online.
Yeah, yeah.
And Eric does all of our stuff that goes on
our video.
YouTube.
Yeah. So I did it and I just told him, I said, I'm so sorry. I literally am saying like the F word every 2 seconds.
You guys,
I'll start to do it. I told him he should do a blooper reel of all of our mess ups. Because we'll start to do it and then go, oh, fuck.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Sorry, Mark.
Sorry, Mark. Or it's like, all right, Mark, we're going to try this one. And here we go. Also, we've been drinking, so hopefully this goes well. That was the latest one when we were doing ads. It was at when we were drinking our usual wine.
We were doing the ad for the usual wine.
Yeah, and we were drinking
just getting hammered
while we were doing it, but we had worked out, we hadn't really eaten.
Oh, that was bad.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining. All right, so anyway, so welcome back, Brooke. I'm sure everybody's happy you're back.
You guys, thanks for
missing me.
Thanks for missing me.
It's really nice to be missed.
But yeah, welcome back to another episode of Between the Reps.
Oh, that's right.
With Brooke and Gina. With Gina and Brooke. With BJ.
Brooke and Gina.
Bina.
BJ. Bina. It's like Brangelina, we're Bina. So gross.
Or Druk.
Druk? I like Bina better.
Brina.
Brina.
It would be...
Brianna.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, Brianna.
Brianna.
Anyway, thanks. Welcome back, guys. Brooke, you were in Utah
for three weeks. My family. It was awesome.
Worked on the ranch.
Yeah, we are a while back now, but finally broke ground on the ranch and my dad's been building the ranch house and I got to help frame.
It's so cool.
Some framing. And... it's not going fast. Like, that's what he'll tell you. Like, it is not fast. It would definitely be, it'd be way further along if he hired people to do it. But through certain parts of getting like the basement framed and then basically all of it framed, it's been really great for our family, everyone, to be able to be involved in doing that and learning how to do it too. And also just in construction world in general right now, it's prices are going through the roof.
Right.
For lumber.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I do know.
You're in the lumber industry.
I am in the lumber industry.
She's a lumber.
I'm a lumber jacket.
She's a lumberjack.
Jackass.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm a lumber jackass.
Yeah, but I was so bummed because the day that I was leaving, was the day that they were putting trusses on.
Oh, that's the fun
and
stuff.
And one, they could have used my help. But luckily, I actually called Jake, my friend and business partner with Naked Training Program.
Yeah, because you need a few strong people to...
Yeah, I mean, I called him and I was like, hey, what are you doing? Actually, I texted him. I didn't call him. I texted him. I was like, hey, any chance you have any experience framing or building a house in any capacity? And he said, no, ma'am. And I said, all right, no problem.
Would you like to learn?
And he said, he's like, but if your dad's looking, you know, needs a...
some muscle.
Needs a bitch on the weekends, I'd love to help. And I said, it was middle of the week. So I was like, well, I was hoping you could maybe come and help them because they're setting trusses and I'm going to be gone. And so he went up and he had some friends. He's like, some of the guys here would probably come help. And I was like, well, let me ask my dad. And I responded back to him and I said, if they have experience, yes. If not, too many people, it's just going to slow you down. So him and our other partner, Brody, went up and helped a bunch. And my dad was sending me pictures. It's very exciting.
It's very exciting.
It's going to be awesome when it's all done.
A cool skill to know too.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, ranch house, they're going to have pastures. They're building all the pasture around the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a cabin. It's a ranch house where all the horses will then stay there. And out in front of the house is where where all the hay field is at. So, you know.
How were your allergies?
I mean, I took allergy medicine every day, but not bad.
Good.
Yeah, not bad.
Because I know you're allergic to horses.
Oh yeah, I was loving on our horses. And the older I get, they're not, like, my reactions aren't as bad as when I was little.
So you're kind of growing out of it.
Yeah. But the worst part about it is if they, like, our horses are out on pasture. Mm-hmm. So dirt, you know, in like the plants and the pollen and just all of that and dust, that's what really gets me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a lot better at not scratching when it scratches. Or
itches?
Not touching. Yeah.
Not scratching when it
not
scratches.
Not scratching when it itches.
I don't
itches.
Scratch the scratch.
And then also, like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I heard this growing up. I was like, don't touch your eyes.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, my eyes would swell shut, dude.
Oh, I'm sure. That's like Jordan. Every time you get poison oak, he'd itch his balls.
Oh, no.
I know. Like, honey,
stop
grabbing your stuff. Jeez, you were just outside
you're just,
playing.
You're just spreading it everywhere.
just itching.
But yeah, it was awesome. It's going to be, I told my dad, I'm like, I can't wait for when it's all done. And I can just be like, hey, I'm going to the ranch and I don't know when I'm coming back.
You're just going to disappear to the ranch.
Just like go there.
Just ranching.
Yeah.
You're a rancher.
I asked my parents, I was like, so if everything falls apart, I think maybe I've said this on here before, if everything falls apart and I just, you know, no one really cares for me anymore, my businesses all go under and I'm
nobody
doing
likes
bad,
me anymore.
And I'm doing just bad, can I move home? And my dad, it's almost, he had like a tear in his eye, like,
please.
That's all I've wanted.
He's just out there sabotaging your businesses.
And so I'm like, oh, well, oh, fuck, full send. Take chances? 100%. 100%.
Your dad would never do that.
Because all else fails, I have a ranch and my parents' house. They can't live at both of them.
Yeah.
Cody told him, he was like, hey, you know, because it's expensive. He's like, hey, if I need to sell my house and I could just live, you know, sell my house and then I'll just live at your house and you guys live at the ranch. Or I could live at the ranch, take care of that, and you and dad can stay at your house.
And your parents are like, wait a minute.
Yeah, he was like, yeah.
What's in this for us?
He's like, you guys can live at the ranch and I'll live, me and Brooke can live at the house. I was like, yeah, sounds great.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. I love that you had that time with him.
Yeah, it was.
I think it's so, so important.
It was so great. And
Because you tend to hang out more with your mom. Mm-hmm. Like when, because she comes out usually by herself.
Because my dad, he just retired. So that's the main thing here is my dad retired. So this is like the first year that he's still busy because he retired construction to ranch. And that's a lot. If you talk to people that are ranchers, they're like, what? Why would you retire to do this ranch job?
Right.
But it's also like, we don't have a big ranch. It's just something that my grandpa always was interested in doing and did himself. And my dad is one, just like that. And two, you know, kind of continuing to build the dream that was his dad's.
That's very
cool. So it's very cool.
Yeah.
And I plan on being home a lot more. But right before COVID, I was planning on splitting my time here in Utah. I have business there. That's where Naked Training is at. And then COVID happened, so that didn't really work out. And I was considering doing like 2 weeks, 2 weeks. And while I was there, I was like, I think I'm going to do a month and a month.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Way easier, less travel. And he liked that idea. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
I don't know if I like that idea, but
you don't. But you did just tell me today that you are going to come to Utah.
I am. I will.
Because it would be a work trip for you.
Right.
It's like when I go there, it's family, but it's work.
Right.
And
they can put me to work.
One, put you to work.
Yeah.
Two, you work with me. So
perfect.
Yeah.
I like that idea. That's awesome. Yeah. I just, the whole time you were gone, I don't even know what I did. Worked on my house. Ruby had her birthday.
Yeah.
She turned 20.
I know. I didn't text her.
Oh, loser.
I know.
I almost texted you to tell you that it was her birthday.
I saw her post on Instagram. I was going to go today. I've got something to give her and I wanted to go get something else to give her. And
you then always
I
could give just, her
instead
stuff.
Of, instead of texting her, I'll just in person be like,
here you
Happy birthday. Yeah. I didn't forget.
She's so funny. No, so we had a family party. That was fun. I actually had a family party planned that I was just doing my kids.
Yes, I was actually just going to I was going to say.
Yeah. It was just supposed to be my kids and her dad and then my sister. This is so weird. Some people just have weird boundaries and I know she doesn't listen to this, so.
I know, I was going to say. I was going to bring it up cuz I'm like, no way does she listen to it.
She does not listen. This is my sister Erica. She has a good heart and she means well, but she just oversteps bounds. So she ended up calling Ruby out of the blue saying, oh, your birthday's coming up. We'll do a party for you on Saturday without talking to me. And then Ruby thinks that she's talked to me. Ruby makes other plans for her actual birthday, which is when I was supposed to be doing something. And I have no idea what's going on. And then my sister says, yeah, we're doing, she calls me up and says, yeah, I talked to Ruby. We're doing a party for her on Saturday. I said, what? She goes, yeah, you know what? What do you want me to bring?
We're doing a party for her on Saturday at your house.
What do you want me to bring? And I said, I'm sorry if I seem confused, but I already had something planned and I actually have plans on Saturday. Anyway, long story short, had to completely change all my plans, planned it for Saturday. Then my sister, the same one that came up with the idea that wasn't throwing it, says, I'd love to help you. And I said, great, show up at 4:30. The party's at 6. She shows up at 5:45, 15 minutes before the party, and goes, what can I do? I said,
you're like, make yourself comfortable.
I said, nothing. I wasn't going to start preparing for a party at, you know, 15 minutes before a party. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. You know, goes in this whole thing. I was at this winery.
But she would be at a winery before.
She goes, I was at a winery with some friends. And I thought, okay. And then I talked to my other sister, Michaela, and she goes, that's weird. She told us that she couldn't ride bikes over because she was going to help you. I was like, what the fuck?
You're like, I'm happy that you were at a winery with your friends and I'm planning the party that you planned.
and okay. But no, she actually helped clean up and all that. And it worked out great. And Ruby's dad came over and she was super happy.
Did you guys just barbecue and play?
We barbecued, like, played cornhole, played some liar's dice. Her dad actually hung out until like 10 o'clock, which was awesome because he's not a big party guy.
Yeah.
So he's usually the first to show up and the first to leave, and he hung out for a while.
He's the type to like show up on time or early and then get out of there before
and get out
everyone
as soon as
there.
He can. Yeah, eat and leave. So she was happy. So now I got good. My baby is 20. It's crazy.
Holy shit.
I was just talking to somebody who's having a baby and asking him about something. And she's just looking at me like she has no idea what I'm talking about. And I said, well, I mean, the last time I was pregnant was 20 years ago. So I guess maybe that's not how they do things anymore. It didn't even occur to me. Oh my God. It was 20 years ago. It was the last time I was pregnant. That shit stays with you, man.
So she's 20.
Seems like yesterday. She's 20.
So I can have you now.
You can have me now.
I've just been waiting for the day.
Well, we're going to Austin.
Yeah.
So we're leaving for Austin on Saturday. Today is Thursday. So this will come out Tuesday.
This is the best. So I want Gina to go everywhere with me. I mean, so much so. Even
it's not that I don't want
to
go with you.
All of you want her to go everywhere with me. Like, I've shown up to events and people are like, where's Gina? And I'm like, oh, she couldn't make it. She's got kids. I mean, her kid's 17, but can't leave her. And me and Colby are going to Austin and I'm heading out there to hang out with this girl. Her name's Ashley Kidd. And she is a total badass. She's like a 4-time, maybe 5-time now. She just competed. A world champion wake surfer. And like over a year ago, somehow we got connected on social media. I think it was because I had posted a video from Lake Powell when I was wake surfing.
Oh, uh-huh.
And someone, I think, tagged her in it. And so we like were just messaging and we had talked about like how I'd love to be able to wake surf with her and really learn, you know? And there was never really, I was kind of waiting for the time that I was in the area, that I was going to be in Austin.
It just happened to be in Austin.
Yeah. And there was just never really that time. And then through like all this whole summer and trying to like really getting the vlog going and, you know, knowing I needed to like plan some things. And we needed to like go and meet up with people and do collaborations and really try and do these things to help the vlog grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally was like, okay, I just messaged her. I was like, all right, when are you available after this date? Because I was supposed to be filming.
Right.
And she gave me the dates and I was like, we're going. And I booked it. Me and Colby were going. And then I left town and I had just left town and me and Gina were texting and, you know, she just said she's going to miss me. I was like, I'm going to miss you too. And I'm like, dude, why don't you come to Austin with me? Because I already got an Airbnb. You just get your flight and you'll stay with me. And we haven't done anything this summer.
No, we haven't done anything for over a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't.
And so I was so surprised because normally she like has reasons why and like pretty fairly valid reasons why she can't, you know, go with me places. Fairly valid. And
she's not being honest. She doesn't find any of them valid.
I find none of them valid.
None of them valid. She thinks I'm making up excuses.
No, the only excuse, which is a real, I would say is valid, is when, you know, you were like dealing with paying for your house.
Right.
And it was more so like you just didn't.
I just didn't feel comfortable spending a bunch of money.
Like you could go.
To travel. Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, there's more to the story.
She finds lots of reasons that I can still go.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, okay, I'm paying for it. And she's like, no. And I'm like, it's business.
I know.
I'm like, honestly, I pay for it. You help me, you know. Anyways, I told her and I was like, just come to Austin. And then she said, well, when are you going? And I sent her the dates and she was like, well, maybe I will. I'll look at the flights. And I was like, okay, do it. And I sent her my flight information.
And you didn't think I was really going to do it, did you?
Well, until you actually do it. And then she texts me and she was like, there's one seat left. Like, are you, or should I do it? Are you sure I should come? And I was like, book the fucking ticket now. And she did. And I was so happy.
I'm so happy.
Not only are me and Gina going, but DLB, Dana's meeting us there.
She is?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
We get there. We're going Saturday. She gets there. I think.
I didn't know that.
Either she's flying in flies in Sunday night.
Okay.
Or she's coming Monday.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So it'll be me, you, Dana. And then Colby will be staying with us. She has a couple of days. She has some of her video guys that are going to be in the area filming some of their athletes. And so they're going to come and get some like vlog stuff for her. And then we'll be with Ashley. And it'll
that's so cool.
Yeah, it'll be a fun little, we'll work out and we'll wake surf and we'll explore Austin.
Love it.
It's going to be great.
I know.
And we're going to take the podcast equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do some podcasts with DLB.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll podcast with Ashley.
With Ashley. Cool. So yeah, we got some good stuff coming up, guys.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Well, and then for Halloween,
yes,
we have a really epic group costume idea.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's
we're going
be
to...
Who? It's
going to
be Bonnie.
It's Bonnie.
Matt.
Vincent,
Dana.
You and me.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah, we've got a group costume.
last year, Brooke was...
If you followed me last year around Halloween and you saw any of our pictures we posted, oh my God, me and Gina. So what we did is our buddy Keaton, the muscle from the Diesel Brothers, if you guys watched that show on TV, he was doing a Halloween party. And so I remember him messaging me like, you have to come. And flying in there we flew in for two nights.
Mm-hmm.
And finally we just pulled the trigger. I was like, Gina, if you come with me, let's go. Quick trip. And
so much
and
fun.
I really didn't like the idea of like the quick turnaround travel, but I thought to myself like a couple of things. These friends would do that for me. Like Keaton would do anything. He would like drop anything to like help me or, you know, right. Show up. And
Dana was going
to
be
and
there.
And Dana was going to be there. And I didn't want, you know, it's like I bit the bullet. I just sucked it up. And we went and Gina came and our costume was, I was Jack Skeleton.
Mm-hmm. Skellington. Mm-hmm.
And Dana was Molly. What's her name?
Oh, crap.
Molly?
No. Sally.
And,
I was like, dang it, I can't remember.
And Gina.
I couldn't figure out what I was going to be.
She couldn't figure it out.
So I was Zero the dog.
She was Zero the dog. And Gina made this, like.
I made a nose. It was like, Jordan helped me, my son. I made a nose. It was like cardboard.
Yeah.
It was so uncomfortable.
Uh-huh, and she put like the string around it.
I put a string around it. So it was like cutting my face off. And then it had a little pumpkin on the end. Uh-huh. And we were laughing so hard because every time I put the thing on, it was like squeezing my face off. The nose was so heavy, it would just sag. It just looked like a soft weenie on my face.
We painted my face white.
Oh my gosh. Shit, I think I wore it for a little while. And then
you
I was
did.
Like, forget
you wore
the- No, we glued it to my nose.
Yeah,
remember?
Oh yeah, I glued it on with eyelash glue.
I think so. I don't remember.
Wait, she wore it long enough.
Dude, that night we were dancing so much that it just kept falling off. Uh-huh. And that was the best part too, is that there's all these super hot young people, you know, at this party, all these really hot, sexy girls. And I'm over there in like a turtleneck, uh-huh, jeans and this giant cape with this hideous nose on my face.
Yep. I was in a black blazer mm-hmm, and pants. And
by the end of the night, we looked like the Insane Clown Posse.
We did. Finally, we went downstairs, took off part of our costume, came back up. And then I was so drunk. I was so drunk.
Oh,
we went
God.
Downstairs.
We were on
I
a
washed
blow-up
my,
bed.
Blow-up bed. I washed my face. put on pajamas.
Yeah.
And went, I was so confident and I really wanted some Doritos that were upstairs. I went back to the party.
Completely.
Just
cleaned
like,
up.
Not in like, not, I mean, washed my face. I mean, it was, I was scary looking.
I just
changed my costume all
changed.
Night.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty funny. You guys, the funny thing is remember the girls that kept sneaking back in?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
There were some girls that just interesting. Wanted to, they just wanted to be around
these guys. And so they literally were asked to leave. They were so drunk that I remember I was sitting there with Dana. Were you there too?
I think so.
And we're sitting there and the girls are escorted out the front. And then,
because we were trying to shut the party down.
We were trying to shut the party down. And one of the girls opens the door and like sneaks back in like really slow, but we're all watching her.
We're all just watching her and she just like, they didn't want to leave.
And then they just put their heads down and walked straight through the living room and then walked out to the back to the hot tub. And we were like, what are these girls doing? They were just trying to stay there.
And we're all just, because all of us are, we all stayed there. It's like Dana and Rob, me and Gina.
Yeah. And I just kept thinking, you have no shame. You have no shame. So we finally,
yeah, so,
escorted them back
out. Halloween will be like this year.
Yeah.
No, I saw Keaton and he was like, should we do a Halloween party? And I was like, yeah. And I'm definitely like I get
probably just a smaller one with COVID and all that.
Yeah. So they're going to do a little get together. And I had Bonnie and Dana were texting me and they're trying to figure out what they wanted to do for Halloween costume. And so I finally, I texted Gina, I was like, do you want to do this? And she's like, yeah. I was like, hey, I booked our airfare. We're going in for just the night. We leave on the 30th. The party's on the 30th. We come home the 31st.
I'd be so hungover.
And,
well, and then you move out the next day.
Yeah, so the 31st is my last day I have to get moved out of my house. That's why, man. I was like, I'm like, I'll do a bunch of work that week and then we'll go for a one night, get together with friends and then come back the next day.
And just be hating life the next day.
Yeah. But we have a group costume.
It's going to be good.
And it's going to be really good. Should we just tell them what it is?
Sure.
Kill Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Kill Bill.
You're the, what's her name?
I am.
The eye patch girl.
Yeah.
That's who I wanted to be last year, remember?
Yeah, you should have been her. Bonnie is the bride.
Okay.
And the name of mine, I'm going to get it right now.
Who's Uma Thurman?
Well, that's the bride.
Oh, okay.
Is Uma Thurman.
Oh, right. Duh.
You're Sophie Fatale?
No, I was...
Oh, you're the other
one.
Yeah, Oren Ishii.
Oren Ishii. The Lucy Liu character.
I'm Elle Driver.
Yes. She's my favorite.
And Dana is...
She's the chick with the... Was it like nunchucks? Go-go, or...
I can't pronounce these names, guys. Yeah, she's going to wear, I think, like the schoolgirl outfit and then have nunchucks.
It's perfect because she's all little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be fun. Anyway, enough of that, guys.
Yeah. You had some questions.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to read some questions. Like I said, we have some guests coming up. So this was kind of going to be our, what do you call it? Catch up.
It's our catch up episode.
Catch up, babble. This is from Alyssa. I'm just going to say Alyssa. There's some personal stuff in here.
Okay.
Hey, ladies. I've been a listener from the beginning, but have yet to write in. First off, the fact that Brooke wanted to be a barrel racer, is amazing. I grew up in the country, worked on a ranch, barrel raced in rodeos, so I can totally relate to her roots. You guys keep me laughing, and I just want to say how refreshing it is to have other women to be so open and honest. I don't feel like there is enough of that these days, which leads to my questions for you. Well, thank you for that. Everyone tries to appear so perfect, and I find myself struggling with comparing my life, body, relationships, abilities, and appearance with certain people. I know you've touched on this subject, but what tips do you have on loving yourself, realizing your self-worth, and eliminating the feeling of failure when scrolling? I should say I don't have Facebook, and I try not to spend much time on social media, Instagram for me, but even so, a couple minutes on there, and I feel like I'm inferior. Then she goes on to tell some stuff about, it's kind of personal, so I don't want to read it. So she basically, says her life's doing great, but then she still gets the twinge of jealousy, or a twinge of jealousy creeps its way back in.
You know what's so funny that I'm reading that right now because I just did an Instagram post I'm going to read. That's kind of on the subject, sort of. And then we can talk on it because that's actually... you guys probably already know this, just listening to me try and get my thoughts out. I think a lot.
I do. Like most people do.
But like I have thoughts and feelings and a lot of stuff that I think could be very valuable or insightful, or even just like this. Like, I know we've talked about this, or, you know, she's saying she's heard some things, but she still is asking for some more insight or, mm-hmm. you know, recommendations. And I really, when it comes to like, you know, trying to, you know, post something that has like a write up or gets really personal or inspirational, I just don't do it. And for a few reasons. One, sometimes I have a hard time expressing myself, so finding the right words. Other times it's like I start doing it and writing something up, and then at a certain point it's almost as if I just can't get it out in an Instagram post. And I would rather do what we're doing right now, talking mm-hmm. about it on the podcast. I'll read my Instagram post.
Okay.
Then we can talk about it. It says, building something from nothing. This is something that my dad spoke about during one of our daddy-daughter drives, and I figured I would share it with all of you. He was talking about a life lesson that he learned from his father and how practicing this is what has brought him the most joy. The opportunity and everlasting effect that patience, hard work, and grit has on a person is priceless. Build something out of nothing has been instilled in me my whole life without me even realizing it. A mantra that was built into my DNA from day one. I said, now for some perspective that none of you asked for. We are all going to make mistakes, have setbacks, and success. The goal is to learn from it and put into practice, accept it, correct it, and learn from it. That is the beauty of the whole process. We're growing and changing all while creating something that you know you built, which is a full life. In a world where we can't trust 90% of what we see, please remember that no matter how good someone else's clothes look, life appears, cool their TikTok dance moves are, doing things in search of approval inside this invisible race that we call social media will only leave you feeling broken or searching for more. You are not broken. We are not broken. Our lives are happening right now outside of our phones, TVs, and computers. All we have to do is be present, look around at all that we are capable of, and then go out and build it. And it really is, I mean, I've thought about this a ton, like pretty recently. It's hard.
Right.
It's hard when all you see, when our culture is so much, it's, well, you know, it's so tied around
outward appearance
and social media mm-hmm. and people getting like that becoming the way to have a career,
right?
Or be somebody,
or to get validation
and get validation. Mm-hmm. I think I can just speak for myself, I guess. And then hopefully this might help you. It's like my job. Like I hate social media. And I hate it because of that. Because I all of a sudden will constantly feel like I'm in the middle of this race that is invisible. It's a fake race where you, no matter how hard you try, you never can get ahead. Mm-hmm. You always end up feeling behind or like you're just not cut out or you're not good enough. And even if you have a moment where you feel like you're crushing it, it's like the next day you could be like, oh my God, how did I fall so behind of all mm-hmm. these people all of a sudden?
Right.
And it's all based on people's likes for you. Mm-hmm. Like it's all based on just needing valid, like not that you need it. Like for me, like,
well, a lot of people do,
but yes. I mean, I'm just speaking for like myself.
Right.
It's not that it's like for business stuff, it's important for me to keep growing and be active on social because that's like a big part of industry now. Like for sponsored athletes, you know, everything is based on the algorithm and your engagement rate and how many people follow you and how many likes you get and how many comments you get. And so what does that urge people to do? It urges them to start acting in a way to try and do what people like mm-hmm. and be someone that is what people like. And the thing that's so fucked about that is people, what they like, that is changes constantly. All
the time. Right.
So it's this constant race of like, you're trying to be, you know,
it's like the ultimate people pleasing.
You're trying to just love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But when we wrap it around what we are perceiving as what you need to look like to get that love or what you mm-hmm. need to, you know, all these things, I think you just have to realize that even for the people that are like we perceive as winning, they too are in this shitty fake race, invisible race that like they have moments of feeling like they are not enough.
Right.
You know, and what I think about is the fact that it's this, it's like, well, that whole mindset or that reality that's not real, that doesn't transfer into real life. It doesn't like it. If you're popular on here, like what are you here with right. people?
Right.
Like interacting, like how many good friends do you have? What's your relationships like real ones? Because online, these in your phone relationships are not real. Like no. It doesn't, and they might be real, but they're only as, it's really only when you're on this.
Right.
You know, the second you put your phone down, well, the only thing that the social media has done to you that's really affecting your real life is now how you perceive yourself, how you feel about yourself. And then that sort of, you know, is going to affect you in your daily life when you're actually doing the stuff that matters, like right here and right mm-hmm. now. And you have to remember that this is, it just can't be the tool that you use. It can't be your mirror.
Right.
You know, for you to try and see who you are. Because it's a huge, it's just a huge lie.
It is.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's an ever-changing one.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be constantly measuring yourself against something that is unmeasurable because it's always changing. You can't have a goal. You can't look at something and like that be your goal because you might reach that and then all of a sudden you look again and it's like, oh shit.
Right. That's not me.
It used to be really cool to be really, you know, curvy and now it's all about being really muscular. And that takes so much time. Now I got to change my body and I've got to start working out more. And then all of a sudden, you know, then you get muscular and you're feeling really good. And if you still have the, you know, the mindset where you're still searching to like outward things to figure out your self-worth, then by the time you look back at it, it's gonna be like, well, that's not cool anymore.
Right.
You know, and now all of a sudden, and that's why it's so important that for me, with being able to get to a place where I am secure with myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and having a better outlook on my body and my like appearance and, you know, self-esteem, it really came down to realizing the reality of a couple things. If we're going to talk just about like body, right?
Looks.
One thing that has calmed my anxiety when it comes to body dysmorphia is the fact that like, one, our body is very cool and it can change. It takes time, but you can fix it. You can correct things that weren't working for you before. You have multiple chances. And then you just have to realize that like, depending on what your goal is, like maybe you're, you know, health-wise and you just really need to lose a bunch of weight and that's hard. And that's a long time. That's mm-hmm. that's dedication. And that's a goal that's not going to happen immediately. You can't have this immediate gratification that, you know, a lot of people want nowadays because so many things can be so immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the importance of really accepting that you are so much more than what you look like. And I think that's probably the thing that is going to matter the most in the whole grand scheme of things is realizing your worth being so much more than just your appearance.
Your outward appearance. Well, I think that's you touched on that. And I think that that's the problem is that with social media, all of a sudden society is so geared towards the outward appearance. That's the, you have to look a certain way. You have to be this fit. You have to, and no one's really making an effort to look at who they are on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what people don't realize, I worry about people that, I mean, we obviously care about how we look.
Yeah, 100%.
And we're not saying that we don't.
No, I definitely
we
do.
We definitely do.
I mean, maybe I wish, not like I right currently.
I wish I cared less. No, you look cute. Shut up. No, but I wish I cared less. I've said this a million times. I think that in this day and age, with the social media especially, and especially with our younger people,
that's what worries me the most,
is that they're so inundated with all these pictures and this is what's important. This is what's important. You know, your body, your face, your every, you know, all this stuff. And it's completely getting away from, there's so much more beauty to people. I mean, I've met beautiful people that are shitty on the inside, mm-hmm. you know, not all beautiful people. I'm not like, you know, a hater, but my worry for these people is that when you put so much time and energy into caring about your outward appearance, that's going to go at some point. Mm-hmm. It does not stay forever. You're right. You can continue to work out. You can continue to eat well. You can continue to do all those things. You're still going to get older. You're still going to get wrinkles. Your skin's going to change. There are things that just happen because you're aging. We're all dying. And I worry about when those looks do start to go, how are you going to feel about yourself?
Yep.
And if someone is only caring about their outward appearance and they're not going to be feeling so great about themselves, if all of their self-worth is wrapped up in your outward appearance, then when that goes, and it will, it just does. It doesn't mean you have to not do Botox or you have mm-hmm. to not do these things. But eventually it just does. And so what are you left with?
Well, and it could, and it's not just obviously, I mean the question, but like, it's not just outward appearance. It could be lots of things. It just, you know, jealous of people that are like,
or their
just constantly traveling all the time and just looking like they live this most extravagant life. And, you know, I mean, that's true. Like, you see things and you're like, man, I want to go there. I want to do that.
Right.
And that's normal. We do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one thing that can help as well, and this isn't even just with social media, this is just like maybe seeing someone on the street or, you know, whatever. It's practicing assuming the best for people that you don't know, that you might know a little. It's assuming, like, changing the way you perceive, and it's a practice that's going to take time, because I've definitely been a girl who's like your, you know, the typical girl who, I say typical, but maybe it's not typical. Anyways, who would immediately hate something before liking it because it's jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that right there is just deeply rooted in, like, you know, teens and mm-hmm. you're growing up and, you know, and that could be caused from a lot of other things. But the second, like for myself, the second I started, instead of being jealous of things I didn't have, I just, you know, you have to think like, in a way, like, be happy for that person for what they're doing. And if you don't have that and you want it, well, then it's just recognizing the fact that you are capable of so much more than you probably think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And,
or you probably have so much more than you realize that you do, because you're so focused on this one thing that they have.
And it kind of comes back to, like, you know, my dad talking about, he just loves to build something from nothing. And he was talking about it when we were driving to the ranch, you know, and he's kind of just, we're looking out at all this property. And he goes, you know, this was nothing. There was no power. There was no water. There was nothing. And he loves that, like, he's doing that. He's working on the land. He's brought the power in. He's brought the water in. He's growing hay. He loves growing hay. He loves it because he loves knowing that he did that. He grew it. You know, he took right. care of it from start to finish, and building the house. It's, And this, like with the ranch house, like even more so, because he's doing that and he's doing it for the family and with the family. And that just,
it's creating a legacy.
You're creating a fuller life. He wants to, he said, I think that this ranch is exactly what our family needed. You know, this place where everyone, it's everyone's. It's not just his. He's built it for the family where everyone can come and enjoy the outdoors and the beauty and spend time with one another. Mm-hmm. And that is what I have found can help with, you know, the moments of, I guess,
depression. Feeling less than.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is human interaction with people that make you feel more than.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate you and want to stay connected with you. So please rate, review, and subscribe to help this podcast grow.
And if you like the podcast, get the word out.
And now back to the show.
I think a big, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Another thing is I think that it's very dangerous to constantly compare yourself to other people.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a very normal thing to do. I do it all the time. I have to remind myself all the time. You know, Brooke will be doing something or, you know, she's got this incredible body, which, I mean, as she said, even sometimes she doesn't feel that way. So that's the other thing is there's a lot of people that we will look at someone and say, oh my gosh, she's got the perfect body. And a lot of times those people are also having the same struggles that we are having. And I think that's important to know. But it's also important to remind yourself to stop comparing yourself. You know, when I was just laughing, thinking about it, thinking, okay, Dana's coming to Austin. Awesome. Definitely not wearing shorts. You know, I hate my legs. Now somebody else would look and say, oh my gosh, Gina, you're 50. You look so great for 50. Thank you so much. But it's watching. And this is what I'm talking about with aging is that it's watching things happen to your body. And I've looked at all stages of my life, even when I was in my 20s or my 30s, there was still something that bothered me. I remember complaining that when I sat down, I had this one little dent on my leg. Well, now my legs are full of dents. I mean, that's just part of aging. I've had 2 pregnancies and my skin is stretched out and gone back. And, you know, there's just things. Now, I would never change that. I've been trying to really remind myself, oh, those stretch marks. Well, those are my war wounds. I have, you know, my babies gave me those, you know.
Well, I have stretch marks and I didn't have babies.
Well, I'm just saying for whatever yes. It is. And it's, so I have to remind myself, Gina, stop comparing yourself to these girls that obviously, you know, have different genetics. They have different drive. They're in a different industry than you ever were. You know, you have to just be happy with what you have. That's very easily said. But,
oh, yeah.
But if you constantly remind yourself, when you start going down that road of comparing yourself to someone, just start thinking about, well, what do I like about myself? Mm-hmm. It sounds very easy. It's very hard to do. But
and you know what I do sometimes?
Hmm.
I just like check in with things that I, you know, because things will bother me about, you know, whether it's like my body or... like, I really want a bigger butt. Okay.
Right.
Like, but like, there will be things that like bother me about my own appearance. Or maybe it's like, I get stuck in this, you know, invisible race where I feel like, oh, well, I'm not there anymore. I'm not in the top anymore. I'm just comparing business or my brand or my popularity and mm-hmm. and things that it's like on social media when it comes to that already there's so many people on there that's what they're doing, like they're comparing, and that's not right, trolls, and that's what they do. And it's like I think that one thing is you need to spend less time looking at the things that make you feel a certain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
It's protect yourself that way for a while until you feel more secure and you can actually see some of those things in a different light. And I will, when I'm feeling a certain kind of way about like my physique, I'll like look at some of my friends or even like strangers, and I can see that their body is different than mine in all kinds of ways. And I'll talk about Katie. So our friend Katie is so curvy, mm-hmm. big boobs, big butt, tiny waist. She's little and she's super curvy, you know, and her, she has insecurities too. So do I, we all have different ones, but like, I've even just like looked at her, even when she's felt, you know, been a little bit down on herself and thought to myself, like, you are so beautiful.
Right.
Like, and I recognize that. And I recognize when I see other women or all these things. And I'm like, well, I don't look anything like you, my body. And I'm so hard on myself for all these things, but I'm looking at you and seeing your body that you're not necessarily happy with. And I just see it as a whole, and it's beautiful. Like, there's nothing that should be different, you know, like from me perceiving, like anyone who wants something to be different with their body, whether it's like more muscle, they want to get stronger, or maybe they want to lose a little bit of weight, you're entitled to want that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But I remind myself that like, I'm perceiving these women and friends of mine that look nothing like me as just like everything about them is beautiful. I wouldn't change a thing. And I have to remind myself that like, why, like, I can want to be better, or, you know, it's okay to want some things different, or to like, you know, sculpt my body in a way that I want, or at least I want to work for. But who's to say that people aren't seeing me as something that's like really beautiful and doesn't need to change, you know? Because I think that when you get stuck in this idea of like, what is right?
Right. The specific thing,
then you almost maybe, I speak for myself, I really try not to speak for you guys, would think, oh, well, because I'm not that, like people probably would perceive me as, you know, less than.
Not as beautiful,
mm-hmm. you know? And I think it's really good to remind yourself of like, how do you perceive people? Because if you're perceiving people in a positive light and you're seeing things that you find beautiful in other people, then you should definitely be able to find them beautiful on yourself. Even though they're not what you think is perfect.
Right. There is no perfect.
No.
I mean, that's the point.
But social media is always going to be, it's going to be something that if you really let yourself get in a routine of judgment or comparing, mm-hmm. it's not going, you're never going to leave
feeling good.
And that just kind of like, you know, like bleeds over into everything you do in your day.
Right.
And if you, you know, you got to be happy. And I think for myself, I've outwardly done certain things that make me feel better just as a person. So little things. If I've been shopping with Gina, or just shopping, and like if I see a girl and I think to myself, like, she has a great butt, right. I will tell her. I'm a stranger. And I do that for many reasons. I do it because it actually lifts me up when I lift other people up. And also, letting her know that, like, everyone loves to get compliments.
Sure.
It makes, you know, if you're like me and Gina, sometimes it's like hard to accept them. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing you're working on, is like, if someone compliments you, you don't go, no. No.
I try not to.
You know, but it's
thank you.
I found for myself what's making it easier for me to, a couple things, like accept who I am and accept compliments, is by giving them and being that person that is, you know, actively lifting other people up, whether it's at the grocery store. There's one of the women that's a checker and she is a talker. I mean, this woman.
I know
woman,
who you're talking about.
Just slows the whole process down because she loves to talk. And I know it. It's hard not to know it. But I know that it fills her up to have someone have a conversation with her, mm-hmm. and have her feel appreciated at her job and feel maybe heard, you know? And mm-hmm. so I will talk to her as I check out.
Is all the other people behind you just...
I don't like to have a deep conversation.
Giving you dirty looks.
It's just, you know, I think that, yeah, you know, lift yourself up by lifting up others. And whether it's you see someone on social media, maybe instead of just immediately comparing yourself, remind yourself that they deserve that too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes. Because I do think I've seen situations where people will look at someone and they are beautiful and they're doing great things, or they have a beautiful body, and they'll automatically try to find something wrong with them, which is terrible too.
But yeah, I think it's, I mean, I could tell you right now, I'll tell you a very recent one that I did. And actually, it was so funny because I was, who was I around? I was explaining it to someone, and I was basically doing what I do where I'm telling you what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So it's a little all over the place. But I still, one, it could be a result of being somewhat compared to CrossFit competitors still, you know, and which will then bleed over into like me when I get like wrongly tagged in pictures of other people or seeing people still competing. And I'm obviously not in that place. I mean, I have to remind myself, like, because immediately it's like, it's going back to when I was at the CrossFit Games and I was like the strongest girl in the field and I was highly competitive and really good. And then I have to remind myself, like, Brooke, you had a cervical fusion. You've had, you know, dealing with lots of tears in my shoulders, and this is where you are now.
Right.
You know, and reminding myself that watching girls that I competed with continue to get, like, be better and continue to keep focusing on that, even though my focus can't be that full time anymore. And with my, you know, with my focus now is I build businesses. I want to help people, you know, realize their potential and that they're capable and feel good about themselves. And I want to do movies, and I love that I'm ranching and I'm going home and I'm wake surfing and I'm taking riding lessons and I'm doing all these things that I've always wanted to do that I never could have done when I was competing, because there's no time, you know? And I reminded myself, like, you know what? It is so cool to see them continuing to, like, reach their potential in that sport. And they deserve that. And they're doing that. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's recognizing that other people, instead of comparing yourself to them, it's putting yourself in the position of them and thinking, like you deserve all these things too. You deserve the things you're working for. Everyone does. Everyone deserves an opportunity to be their best self. Everyone gets to be successful. Everyone gets to be happy. And if you think about it that way, it obviously, our lives, everyone's lives look different. But remember that if you want something, you can have it. That doesn't mean that it's not hard. You know, maybe, some things we want, we actually maybe can't have at this point in our life.
I
want...
There's definitely some things that people can't have.
Lots of things. Like, I want an airplane. Well, can you fly it? You got to go through the process of a couple things, like get your pilot's license.
I love that's what you came up with. Well, I want an airplane.
I think I was thinking about it because, like, people have vision boards, and Rob Bailey's vision board right now is a helicopter.
Oh, okay.
And he does have a license to fly. Anyways, it's just, there's certain things that maybe that is a little beyond what you can have right now or you're capable of right now. But if you focus on just finding happiness, your whole journey, the whole process of whatever it is that you're working towards, is just going to be so much more enjoyable. And time just goes by so fast, you know? And if we just spend so much time being almost like unhappy, but not even realizing that you are, because you're just like in a shit mood, mm-hmm. because you're comparing yourself and you're not enough and you don't have this and you don't have that. And it really comes down to, like, maybe looking at things like in its reality. Like, I could say for myself, well, the reality, Brooke, is you don't train to go to the CrossFit Games anymore. You don't want to spend every single day in the gym. What do you want? You want to work out and stay fit and do those things. But what do you want? You want to have life experience. You want to spend quality time with your family. You want to spend quality time with your friends. Well, you can't win the CrossFit Games and have all of those other things. Like right now at this point in your life, like what, like, is it tangible for you to compare yourself to someone who they've, all of their focus is on, I don't know, maybe we'll compare ourselves to a supermodel or a doctor. I don't know, who should we compare ourselves to?
I don't know.
A doctor.
I'm like, I don't want to compare myself to a supermodel. Well,
I was trying to think like social media, it's like body appearance. But like, you see people that they have what they have. You know, some people cheat, but they have what they have because their work, that's what they're focusing on. That's what they're focusing on.
Life.
That's their whole life. That's what they're focusing on. And that's what they're doing. Again, because we're seeing someone, we don't know what's in their heart. Like, you could look like you have everything and maybe you're just really sad, you know, or you look like you could have everything and be this like perfect, awesome person, but maybe you're a total asshole. Right. You know, and you, like Gina said, you can meet someone who, like a professional athlete or someone that you have idolized, and then you meet them and you're like,
what a dick.
What a dick. Right?
And then, some are really nice. Right.
And I think it's just, you know, recognizing the fact that don't compare yourself to someone who, couple things, you really don't know them. You don't know everything about them. You don't know their schedule. You don't know what their focus is. You don't know where they've come from. And that's why I say just assume the best of people's situations. And if these little things aren't something you're regularly doing, it's going to take practice. So sometimes you might, and I've done this, sometimes you might see something and immediately be like, ugh, like, yeah, stupid. I bet she sucks. And then you have to like catch yourself and be like, well, that wasn't. I shouldn't think that or say that about this person. I don't know, because I don't want to be that person.
Well, and where is it coming from?
Right.
It's really just coming from the fact that I'm jealous that you look a certain way. And I, for some reason, am thinking that's better than me. And so now I have to find something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. And you can just change it in the moment and just be like, well, honestly,
good for you.
Good for you, man.
Good for you, man.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Okay, we should put that on a t-shirt. Good for you, man.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. But yeah, it's tough.
It is. And everybody does struggle with it. I don't care who says. And then we've talked about this whole idea of self-love. It's a constant journey. It's not something that if somebody's that in love with themselves and not struggling, you might be a narcissist.
For sure.
If you think you do, not just do nothing wrong, but I would be surprised if anybody felt every day like they were just killing it.
And you could think of it like this.
Everybody struggles with that.
Yeah, you could think of it like this too. Like kids, right? I'm not a parent, but I have nieces and nephews that I care deeply for. I'm highly protective.
You are.
Of not just my family, like of people I just love. I am like.
She's a lioness.
I am highly protective. And so when I'm home with like my nieces and nephews, you know, or like you see like teens and or kid, but think kids. Before social media, it's kind of like the idea of like all this crazy stuff that's happening in the news, right? Well, before social media, there was still a lot of crazy shit happening, but it wasn't so saturated. It wasn't constant in your face updates, new update. Right. This is happening. That's happening. And it's like back then, appearance and things was still a problem. You know, it was just in magazines or on TV. So the fact that it can be more accessible, like social media, and there's this constant comparison that's happening, it's going to be harder to get away from. It's going to be more work for you to try and, you know, fight against that. And you think about kids who, as they grow up, maybe they're not, you know, they're watching cartoons. They're just being kids.
Right.
And what would we do? We would say we wouldn't want them to be on like social media and put them in a place where now they're comparing themselves to other people and constantly at such a young age, like looking at their body different, looking at their, you know, just all kinds of things. It's like all of a sudden at such a young age, feeling like they're not enough. When in reality, as an adult, you're like, no, like you're a kid.
Yeah.
You're a kid. You have so much time. Like right. There's no point in comparing yourself to, you know, you have to consider that for you too, as an adult. Like if we're, you got to just get off the phone, get off the social media for a while.
Yeah. Speaking
you
of,
know, or fight for like, if you are on like unfollow, like don't follow accounts that only bring you down. And maybe they shouldn't bring you down, but at this point in whatever stage you are in trying to feel, you know, beautiful and better about yourself, you kind of have to help create an environment where you can change. And then as you change and your heart changes, and then you can handle seeing things that before you would have been, you know, bummed about or right. had a negative outlook on, where now you can look at it and be like, good for you, man.
Right. Good for you, man.
Good for you, man.
Hey, good for you. Yeah. I wanted to bring up, if any of you haven't watched it yet, on Netflix. Have you watched it yet?
Yes, a couple times.
Social Dilemma. It's called Social Dilemma on Netflix, and it is really interesting. It's very eye-opening. It's about social media. It's about algorithms. They had some very disturbing, because now, you know, now we have this whole youth that has been, because even my kids that are around 30, your age, they had a MySpace in middle school.
Yeah.
They didn't have smartphones. Top five. they didn't have smartphones where they could be on Instagram and, you know, they're not on Facebook, but Instagram and all these, and Snapchat and TikTok and all this stuff 24 hours a day.
Yeah, you texted and you played Snake. That Snake game.
I don't remember. I don't know that one. I'm too old. But there are some very disturbing statistics in there, and I would encourage all people just to go and watch it. And it just talks about how these algorithms will send you notifications and things trying to basically control what you're doing and to get you to engage more with social media.
Yeah, and it's really, it's learning that like when it comes to social media, we as people, We are what is being sold.
Yeah. Well,
and they talk about
and we're
that.
All the sheep. You know, you keep seeing all these posts of people, don't be a sheep, think this, and you're a sheep because you're thinking that. And it's like, guess what, guys? We're all sheep.
Yeah. And I think that because some of you could be listening to this and
I'm only gonna
say this because I've had this reaction from some of my family. And then we had a further conversation. But don't immediately think that the social dilemma is political.
No.
So it's just so much more than that. Don't be turned off. I think like anyone should, you know, I want people to be open-minded and we all should be able to hear other opinions. And if you really want to grow, you don't have to take everything. Like, it's not like you have to let something completely change your mind, but if you're willing to, you know, consider the possibilities of how something actually could look. Maybe it's not what you thought. Your eyes are going to be very opened to a reality that it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Just, yeah. But definitely watch it. It's really good. It had some, but I think that what made me think of it is we were talking about young girls being on social media and they were talking about the suicide rates. I think that, and don't quote me on these statistics, but it was something insane. Middle school girls, I think the suicide rate has gone up 150%, or something like that. It's very frightening. I feel like we're getting, well, females, first of all, we fought for rights. We fought to be seen as equals and all this. And then you have this, I mean, I'm all for posting. If you want to post a picture in your bathing suit, you're feeling good about yourself. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that our young people are seeing this and thinking, oh, that's what I have to do.
Well, and you know, it's
talked about this with Ruby before.
Learning from a young age to compare yourself.
To compare yourself.
And that's, I mean, what kind of we were talking about. I was like, how do we not do that?
Right.
Well, one, we got to, you know, we work on it.
Well, we do. That's the thing. Because yes. We do compare ourselves.
No, we do. But I'm saying like, how, we have the to, question was right. Like, how do I not?
Right.
You know, and I think what, now the conversation has just moved into if you should watch this show. And I think if you have kids or you have grandkids or you have, maybe you don't have kids, but you have nieces and nephews, just, or you care
yeah.
about the younger generation. It's watching it to even just kind of learn about the facts about this is where we are. This is something that's been built over years. And it wasn't in, you have the people discussing it who worked at all these big companies, Google,
they're
Apple.
They're the ones that created these algorithms.
And they weren't creating it for it to have these negative effects. And they're saying, but what's happening is, once these things have been created, they basically just, they're AI, they function on their own and they continue to learn and get smarter and work the way they're going to work. And unless someone's going to go and burn the whole thing down,
yeah.
Now we need to be aware of it and have, you know,
learn to protect ourselves.
Yeah. And they give you some different things you can do like on your smartphones to sort of kind of fight against
right.
the system.
The system.
But yeah, watch it.
Fight against the AI. Now we sound like crazy people.
For real.
The robots are taking over, guys.
Well, and it's so funny, like when they call it AI, because it's like, well, it's that true. Movie. That's exactly what it is, though.
No.
Like it doesn't have arms and legs and walks I around, know. But it, you know, it's
I've
computer.
Just watched too many scary movies. I can just imagine.
But watch it. We would actually love to hear your thoughts about on it. And
you can email us at betweentherips@gmail.com.
Oh, yes. Also, send in some more questions because clearly we can talk for an hour. That's actually like 45 minutes on one question.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah. Guys, help us help you. Give us questions so we can give you exactly what you want.
And if we're not helping you, we're so sorry. So anyway, well, thanks guys for listening
to another episode of Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina.
Yes, thank you.
Remember to rate, review, subscribe, five-star rating, five-star warning.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep. See you.
Bye.
Bye.